Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
From the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about life and money. We are reclaiming stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Anything you hear about in this broadcast, you can find at Chris Recommends, again, at stewardship.com and Chris Recommends. We're here. We're taking your calls, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Well, folks, why do we do this show every day? Why is it that I've given my life to this? I think it's important that we all do that. Why are we doing what we do? For me, the reason why I do this is pretty darn obvious. Did you know that nearly 70% of consumers live paycheck to paycheck? 70. That's from the Wall Street Journal. Gallup poll, Bankrate.com, says 68% of Americans could not cover a $5,000 emergency with cash without having to go into debt for it. That's why we do this show every day. U.S. courts say that annual bankruptcy filings have almost doubled since the bankruptcy laws were reformed in 2005, bringing us back over, get this, the 1 million bankruptcies per year mark. Wow, that's why we do this. USA Today says, due to the lack of savings, 60% of the 77 million baby boomers will not have the means to support their current standard of living when they reach retirement. That's why we do this. A Marist Institute poll published in USA Today said 55% of Americans always or sometimes worry about their money. That's why we do this show every day. The Federal Reserve and U.S. Census Bureau says the average American household has $91,000 in debt. $91,000 in debt. And the total consumer debt has doubled since 1980. In 1980, the total consumer debt was $1.3 trillion. Folks, brace yourself. Today is $2.6 trillion in consumer debt. That's why we do this. Multiple studies point towards conflict over money is still the leading cause of divorce. AARP poll says 28% of Americans spend more time watching reality TV last month than they spent planning and preparing for their retirement over the past 10 years. That is why we do this show every day. Wow. Now, why is this happening? A few reasons why this happens. You know, did you know that if you tell a lie or spread a lie often enough, loud enough, and long enough, well, that myth, that lie, becomes accepted as truth. Let's look at a few of them. Have you ever heard this before? Car payments are a way of life, and you'll always have a car payment. I can remember when I was told that. I was told that from somebody who's really, really good with money. But this particular thing, they had lied to themselves long enough where it actually became truth in their life. The truth is, staying away from car payments by driving reliable used cars is what the typical millionaire does. This is how they become millionaires. We learn that from Tom Stanley's book, The Millionaire Mind, and his other book, The Millionaire Next Door. Here's another one. You can get a good deal on a new car. What? A new car loses 60% of its value in the first 4 years. 60. This is the largest purchase most consumers make that goes down in value. Let me break this down for you. A new car selling for $28,800 will lose about $17,000 of its value in the first 4 years. That makes it worth $11,520. You actually lose $360 a month in value on top of your payment. Absolutely crazy. Buy used, check out used car lots, and look into repo auctions, but the best deals are usually from individuals. Here's another one. Leasing your car is what sophisticated financial people do. You should always lease things that go down in value. There are also tax advantages to leasing. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Consumer Reports, Smart Money Magazine, and a good calculator will tell you that the car lease is the most expensive way to finance and operate a vehicle. Stay away from leasing. Here's another one. You need to take out a credit card or car loan to build your credit. You must build your FICO score to prosper. The truth is, the FICO score is a I love debt score. Why would you want to go into debt so you have the opportunity to go further in debt? That is just not smart. You need a, here's another one. You need a credit card to rent a car. Check into a hotel or make a purchase over the phone or the web. Not true. Folks, we are a 500-person company, and none of us have credit cards. We all travel like crazy. Except for a very, very small amount of rental companies, a debit card will do anything that a credit card will do. And actually, I have never been told at any rental car company that they can't rent to me because I don't have a credit card. It's never happened. Here's another one. I pay off my credit cards every month with no annual fee. I get brownie points. I get air miles. I get a free hat. That's crazy. More than 100 million Americans do not pay off the balance every month. Here's the real truth. You spend more when you use plastic because spending cash hurts. Some studies say that you spend up to 30% more when you use plastic instead of cash. You ever been asked, hey, you want fries with that? You're probably going to say yes if you don't feel it. If you don't have to dig in and get a couple more dollars. If you just, it's just, yeah, just throw it on. You're probably going to say yes to that. Those, do you want fries with that? Do you want a necklace with your shirt? Those end up being yeses when you're using plastic. Because I'm going to get more points. According to Sally Mae, this will make you sick. According to Sally Mae, 82% of college students don't pay off their credit card balances every month. 82%. Wow. Here's another one. I'll make sure my teenager gets a credit card so he or she can learn to be responsible with money. What? I'll make sure they get a credit card so that they learn to be responsible? Teens are a huge target of credit card companies. Anyone with half a brain realizes how not so brilliant this myth is. Here's another one. Debt is a tool that should be used to create prosperity. We all know the truth is the borrower is slave to the lender, Proverbs 22:7. You ever wonder how much could you save? How much could you invest? How much could you just spend and just blow and give if you had no payments? That's what this show's about. How much money could you give if you had no payments? We are reclaiming stewardship in America and in our hearts. That's what we're doing. Stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. He is the owner. Psalm 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if he's the owner, if he owns everything, if he owns a cattle on a thousand hill, well, that means we're not. We are the managers, and he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, that we are to be faithful managers. Now, you might be, at this point, you might just be like, Chris, let up the gas a little bit. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. I'm feeling a little guilty. Listen, this is not a show of condemnation. This is a show of hope. That guilt does not come from above, but guilt comes from the enemy. Anything, any kind of emotion you feel that's pulling you backwards towards regret and towards guilt and towards going backwards is not from God. God wants to convict and wants to challenge so that we can progress forward, not go backwards. And so that guilt is not from God. You just got to be open to change. Okay, that's what this show is about. This show is about change. How can we change the way we live our lives so that we are stewarding better, so that we are managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory? John Maxwell says change is a process, not an event. So you can't call into this show, you can't hear this show just once and think that change has happened. No, it's a behavior change. Personal finance is only 20% head knowledge. It's 80% behavior. We've got to change our behavior. This is a process that we're going through. So let's not worship the event like our culture does. Let's worship the process. Let's worship how God changes us from the inside out. Oftentimes, we overestimate the event and we underestimate the process. This whole change, it's hard. I know what you're feeling. It's hard to change. It's hard to sacrifice. It's hard to discipline, but it's a change that's worth it. And really, this change, the Christian in America, the Christian all over this world, it's our spiritual duty to take dominion over money. If we don't, well, we surrender God's resources to the enemy. Have you ever thought of that? Well, folks, this is not just a reminder. The show is not just a place where you can be inspired, but we also want to provide you with a roadmap. So what does this look like? What do we actually do? The process, what does stewarding God's resources really look like? And so what we use as our roadmap here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship is Financial Peace University. Financial Peace University is a class that's been offered for over 20 years, and it's seen 4 million people go through it, 2.5 million families, and they've experienced a $19 billion turnaround in their finances in just 90 days. They have saved $2,700. They have paid off $5,300. That's an average per family in just 90 days. You might be asking, how in the world do they do that? Well, they got serious. Behavior changed. They started selling some things. They started taking an extra job. They started getting on a budget. They started shaving down some of their expenses. They made some very significant changes in their life. Now, in Financial Peace University, we break the whole entire journey down into 7 baby steps. Very easy to understand baby steps. No matter where you're at in your journey, you can understand these. The first one is start an emergency fund. It's that simple. $1,000. Start with $1,000. Have that in the bank so you make sure that you don't go further into debt. And you have that there. Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. But fools, well, they gulp all theirs down. We want to stay away from that. We want to make sure that we have an emergency fund. And then there's baby steps 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And I will let you know a little bit more about those in just a minute. Well, do I have a special offer for you? You've heard me talk about Financial Peace University, the class that changed my life. Now, I want to give you the same opportunity. For a short time, we are offering an exclusive offer of Financial Peace University at only $99 for our True Stewardship listeners. For $99, the average person experiences an $8,000 turnaround in their finances in just 90 days. So if you want to take the first step towards changing your future, this is it. Visit stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends. That's stewardship.com. Chris Recommends.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Now, told you a little bit about the Starter Emergency Fund. $1,000 to start your emergency fund. Now, for those of you that possibly make under $20,000 a year, that could be $500 for you to start off. So that's baby step number one. Baby step number two is to get out of debt and stay out of debt. Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower is slave to the lender. Romans 13:8 says that to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. Baby step number three is to have a fully funded emergency fund. You're going to take that starter emergency fund of $1,000 and you're now going to build on it. It's now going to be 3 to 6 months in expenses. Now think of yourself as, I am self-insured. I've got options. I now can sleep well. What does it mean to be self-insured? Well, now you can go down to the car insurance place, and instead of you having this crazy low deductible, which makes your policy premium go way up, now you can say, I don't need that $200 deductible. I now can have a $5,000 deductible or a $2,000 deductible, and that'll decrease your monthly payments or your biannual payments. And so now, you know, another thing that changes is you're now not in bondage at work. Let's say you have a supervisor that's mistreating you, or you're unfulfilled or you're not happy. Now you don't have to work at that job because you have options. You've got 3 to 6 months in savings, and so now you can actually think about possibly making a transition in your occupation. But if you have no money in the bank at all, well, then you're in bondage to that place of employment. And so that's why I want to make sure that we get through baby step number three. Now, baby steps 1, 2, and 3, try to kind of think of it this way, is that's where you're taking care of the now. That's where you're taking care of the here and now. Like, you're making sure that you get your life in order. You're making sure that everything becomes stable. And once you've done that, now your eyes can kind of pull up a little bit and you can look ahead and think about then. So 1 through 3 is now. And then starting in baby step number 4, you start thinking about then, thinking about the future. And baby step number 4 is investing 15% of your household income into Roth IRAs and tax-favored retirement accounts, growth stock mutual funds. And this is where it gets to be fun, where you watch your money actually work. And the Bible says this very clearly in the parable of the bags of gold, about making sure whatever God's entrusted us with, that we that makes interest, and actually makes compound interest. And so you want to put it to work as early as possible once you've finished baby steps 1 through 3. Let me give you an example. If you're 25 years old and you're listening to this right now, and you put $100 away in a growth stock mutual fund at 12%, at 65 years old, you're going to have $1.1 million. That's right. $100 a month turns into $1 million at age 65. You say, Chris, I'm actually not 25, I'm 35. That's fine. $700,000 will work for you, right? And you might say, I don't have $100 a month. Come on. Come on. I've seen the Starbucks lines, folks. You guys are all in the Starbucks line, and you guys are all at the theme parks, and majority of you, you've got $100 a month somewhere. Get creative, pay off those debts, get that emergency fund rocking, and get retirement going as soon as possible. $100 a month turns into $1 million at retirement, and $486 a month, the average car payment in America, $486, instead of paying that towards a depreciating asset, a big, huge chunk of metal, well, you can put that towards retirement. It'll be $5 million when you go to retire from age 25 to 65, growth stock mutual funds at 12%. The Bible says, Proverbs 13:22. That a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And so that's why baby step number 4 is crucial. Baby step number 5, college funding. College funding for your children. This is where you go from now to then. Now you're focusing on us. You're taking care of your children's education, securing the future, making sure they have the intelligence to be able to actually handle an inheritance. You're looking towards ESA plans, 529 plans. And Proverbs 30, verse 25 says, ants aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. So you might be thinking, I can't pay for Duke. I can't pay for Yale. I can't pay for these crazy expensive schools. Well, you don't have to. Listen, the ants aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. Start saving little by little now for college in the future, after you started retirement, and of course, after you've done baby steps 3, 2, and 1. They all go in order. Linear order. Don't go out of order. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then college funding. Baby step 6, pay off the mortgage. And then baby step 7 is to build wealth and give. So those are the baby steps, just real quickly. But I wanted to just settle in on baby step 1 for just a moment, because some of you might be there. Like, how in the world do I save $1,000? That just seems totally foreign to me. Well, first of all, you got to change your perspective. You've got to save first. You can't wait to save. You got to do that in the beginning. So you got to tithe, you got to save, and then you pay your bills. Okay, so that saving, you got to pay yourself first. How do you get the $1,000? You save and you sell some stuff. Maybe sell some clothes or some unused furniture, or maybe some unwanted jewelry. Maybe it's that motorcycle. Yep, even that motorcycle that's in the garage. Or maybe it's that $800 stroller that you guys bought 2 years ago that you don't really need. You just need an umbrella stroller. You don't need the $800 jogging stroller. Maybe that's something that you can sell. So those are some things that possibly you can sell to jumpstart your emergency fund. Things to save for. I wrote a blog at stewardship.com. Instead of just emergency fund, you got to also be saving for purchases. You got to save for college. I know when I was in college, I thought that I could afford an outfit. I kind of going through the mall and thought I could afford an outfit, because I said, oh, I can afford it, just because the money was there in my account. But we've got to understand that just because the money's in our account doesn't necessarily mean we can afford it. We got to think about, oh, I've got to save for a rainy day. I've got to save for my next car. You know, got to have a sinking fund there. I've got to save for a lot of things that are going to pop up in life. Maybe it's a wedding that's going to be popping up in the future. Maybe it's a traveling thing that you know that you're going to have to go to. So again, Proverbs 21:20, the house of the wise is choice food and oil, but fools gulp theirs down. You might be from the school of thought of living hand to mouth is the way to go. That's where you really have faith in God. And I'm here to tell you that living hand to mouth is not faith. It is foolish. And Proverbs 21:20 says that. So you want to tithe, then save, and then pay your bills. Now, don't underestimate the power of $1,000. $1,000, if it's invested, okay, and that's not what we're talking about with baby step one. You're just putting it in an emergency fund. But if you were to invest it, think about this, just $1,000, it could grow to $750,000 at 18% interest, $93,000 at 12% interest, and $10,000 at 6% interest from ages 25 to 65 over 40 years. So there's a lot of power in just $1,000. Now, having money in the bank is not just about having money in the bank. It's deeper than that. You know, men lose their self-esteem. Money's usually represented as scorecard. So when there's no money in the bank, men lose their self-esteem. Women, they love security. So when there's no money in the bank, they lose a little bit of that sense of security. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I just said? Women look at that money in the bank, and that gives them an element of security. In your household, that might explain quite a bit. And that might explain a little bit of her maybe questioning. You perceive it as a questioning spirit. Or maybe it's just always wondering and always just asking, how much is in the account? How much? It's an insecurity. Maybe that's what you needed to hear about your husband. That explains a lot. When you do the questioning, he feels like you're digging at him, that you don't respect his ability to be able to manage the money. So this is much deeper than just money. When we have money in the bank, the security is taken care of and the respect is taken care of, and there's less tension in a marriage. So as we venture towards our baby step number one, and that's where you're at, I can't encourage you enough to be aware of impulse buying, which it can be brought on by stress. I owe it to myself. You ever said that? I work so hard for this. Be aware of that mentality. And then develop an accountability relationship. You'll get to that $1,000 quicker with some kind of accountability. If you're married, it's obvious who your accountability is. If you're not, if you're single, just make sure you don't pick your broke buddy, okay? Not anyone who's absolutely broke. That's not a good one. Like my son, Jack, he would never pick Max. Max is always broke. He's a big-time spender. And so we really have to monitor his savings. So make sure you have someone in your life that can you can discuss budgeting with. And make sure you have accountability friends. They must love you enough to be brutally honest for your own good. So that's the kind of person that you're looking for. Maybe it's a pastor, a parent, a relative, maybe a boss, and that accountability is crucial. And make sure you are on a budget or a spending plan. We're going to talk all about that very soon in an upcoming episode, breaking down the entire budgeting process. So that'll be coming to you in the very near future. Well, our incredible producer, Bob Marquez, is telling me that we're done for today. I know, such a party crasher. Let's stay connected on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Chris Brown On Air. And always be sure to check out stewardship.com. Again, that's stewardship.com. And then under Chris Recommends, you'll find anything that we talked about on this show, including, do you remember? The $99 exclusive offer for Financial Peace University. You have got to get in that class. This is your opportunity to change your future. I am begging you, you need to get in this class. $99 for True Stewardship listeners. It will change your life. Folks, it has been a pleasure reclaiming stewardship with you. Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory. God bless you.